Good morning, and we are live from the Ron Scott Communications Center. Glad to have you here for the Thursday edition of the show. Wow, it's hard to believe that we're already on Thursday. The week just flies by. Very honored to be joined by Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy. And Lieutenant Colonel Hardy is one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. And good morning, sir, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
You have been to AirVenture before. You've been here
yes.
a number of times. What stands out to you when you step on the grounds?
When you come here, it's just amazed at the number of people involved here.
Yeah.
How many volunteers it must take to run this. Jesus, there's so much activity.
Well, about 5,000 volunteers make it happen.
Sure. And they need it. It's well, so extensive. Everything, airplanes and everything sitting.
Yes.
Parking and all of this stuff.
Good. Lieutenant Colonel Hardy is one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. Tell us a little bit about your background and training before you became a combat pilot in World War II.
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia, South Philadelphia, and I graduated from high school in June of 42. But I turned 17 that same month, so I had to wait a year to go into the service.
Right.
But in March of 43, the Army and Navy decided if you're a high school graduate, if you're 17 and a high school graduate, you can take the aviation cadet exam, which I did. I passed it. I was sworn in as a private in the Army Reserve. Then I didn't have to register for the draft at 18.
Okay.
And so when I turned 18, I got orders to report. Went through basic training and started aviation cadet training in December 43. Graduated in September 44. Flew P-47s at the Waldorf for combat training. Then I drove an automobile for the first time.
Oh. So you had actually flown a combat aircraft, a P-47, before you ever drove a car.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I grew up in South Philadelphia.
Yeah.
When I grew up, very few people in the neighborhood had cars, you know. We had good public transportation to this thing.
Good.
So then I finished in January 45. Went overseas in February and flew in March and April 1945. I got in at the end. I was 19 years old then.
And flying a P-51 Mustang.
Had my Rolls Royce at 19.
And you flew 21 combat missions.
21 combat missions, yes.
Were those mostly escorts?
Mostly escorts, but some strafing missions.
Okay.
If it wasn't a long mission, we would, once the bombers were safe, go down and look for targets of opportunity.
Okay.
Anything to destroy, anything the Germans had, destroy their capability to move them around.
Right.
Oh, well.
So was Benjamin Davis still with the Tuskegee
He was
Airmen?
Still the commander of the group.
Did you get to meet him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tried to stay away from him.
I've heard that. He was very demanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding leader.
Yeah, he was that.
So how did you find the entire experience going through training and going overseas? I mean, that was, as a 19-year-old, that's a life-changing experience pretty early on.
It was a life-changing experience. But you learn. I learned a lot, see, with a lot of guys. So, and going overseas and then flying combat and coming back. It was an experience, though. And it taught me a lot in life. But I really grew up in the service because I ended up with a full military career.
So. Right. Tell us a little more about what you did after the war. I mean, I know you were there at the very end in Europe, but you then got out of the Army Air Corps at that time and went to college for a year, and then they pulled you back.
Well, I went to college for 47 to 48 NYU, mm-hmm. and I recalled active duty in June of 48. And when I came back in, I needed something other than being just a pilot. So I went into electronics maintenance. I wanted to get maintenance. If I couldn't fly anymore, at least I wanted to be around airplanes.
Good.
That was my goal. So I went through 50 weeks of electronic training. I wanted to get into what you call the all-weather fighter squadron.
Sure.
They had some good airplanes then, see. But when I graduated, racial integration took place in, June of 49. That's when the end of June, 32nd, was deactivated. And the people at Lockburn were scattered to the world. I finished school in August of 49. And I was shipped not to all-weather fighter squadron, but the 19th Bomb Group on Guam, B-29s.
Okay.
As a maintenance officer. So I served over there, and I was able to actually check out in the 29 and put on a combat crew as a co-pilot. I still had my day job as maintenance officer.
Right.
But I was on a combat crew.
Tell us what it was like moving from something like the P-51, which is very fast and nimble, to something like the B-29, which is the opposite end of the pilot spectrum.
It was quite a change. It took a lot to get used to. And checking out in that wasn't that easy. But after a while, you get used to it, flying with most of the pilots we had, aircraft commanders, were World War II guys. And so you learned a lot from them. And when the Korean War started, we moved up to Okinawa and started flying missions out of there.
And you also ended up with B-36s at one point in your career?
Well, after Okinawa, flying over Korea, I got 45 missions over Korea, B-29.
Okay.
Coming back, I was put in SAC. And there I was put in armament systems. Now I'm a full maintenance officer. SAC had the armament electronics maintenance squadrons. So I was in those squadrons several times in SAC and ended up as a squadron commander. But I learned a lot in maintenance. But I was on a B-36 outfit up in Limestone, Maine, as a maintenance officer. And that was interesting. That was a monster, you know. A lot of people don't realize how big that airplane was. It's supposed to fly from Fort Worth to Soviet Union, drop its bombs, and come back without refueling. See?
Yes.
And that's a lot of fuel. I call it a flying gas tank, see?
It was. For those who may not be familiar with the B-36, describe it for us.
Well, the B-36 was a huge airplane, and it had six reciprocating engines, but on the back of the wings, pusher type on the back of the wing, had six of those plus four jets. So when it took off the ground, it had 10 engines going, see. Once they got over 30-some thousand feet, and they would fly at those altitudes, they would shut the engines down. But a lot of people don't realize how big that airplane was. Right. You, at your height, could walk out into the wing.
Wow.
Just right near the airplane. That's how big it was. See? And the gear was huge, you know. So you had to have that space to retract the gear. It was a monster. It's hard to believe it got off the ground. But when I see the C-5 out here.
Yes. You know, If you give it enough power, it will fly.
That's right.
We're talking to one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy. And you continued in service up through the Vietnam conflict.
Yes. But, you know, I had an interesting experience. Well, flying the B-36 up at Limestone, Maine. The B-36 was a huge airplane. It would fly it would take off today and maybe not come back till tomorrow, say. But they flew all around the country and whatnot. And if they had to go down someplace, we would have to supply an engine to them.
Sure.
And each B-36 wing was given two C-119s, flying boxcar.
Yes.
Kosicki carrier built up B-36 engine. And I was one of four pilots checked out in the 119. So I got hundreds of hours in the 119 in SAC.
Flying the air engines.
Which came back to haunt me. They were looking for 119 pilots in Vietnam.
Ah.
And my name came up, so I ended up going back there to fly a 119 gunship in Vietnam in the 1970s. So.
Wow. So you served, just to be clear, you served in all three conflicts, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Yes.
One of very few who had the opportunity to do that in their career.
Yes.
So.
In fact, Colonel Charles McGee is here.
Yes.
He did that, but he has over 400 missions. So.
Yes.
Which is a hell of a lot.
Yes. And that transitions into why you're here. You're here supporting the Red Tail Rise Above over at Kid Venture.
Yes.
And what caused you to want to get involved with young people?
Well, it's just that it tells a story of Tuskegee Airmen. And I love that, you know. So I love talking to the kids. Like today, they had to break me away from there because the kids come up and you talk to them, you know. I like to say I have my picture there and that I was flying that airplane in Europe at 19 years old, you know. I had my Rolls Royce at 19, you
That's
know.
Right. And you've been at AirVenture several years, supporting the Red Tail and also, you know, talking with kids and encouraging them.
Yeah.
If you had a message that you want to send out to everyone, young or old, what would that be?
Well, for young, if interested in aviation, it's a hell of an opportunity in aviation today. I mean, we need pilots, you know,
right.
And that's where they come from, you know. the interest in aviation, and you can get a pilot's license before you can get a license to drive a car.
Right.
So it's an opportunity there if you can get to fly. You know? And once you get in the air and start flying, it's part of you. You know, it's one of those things.
Great. Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy, where will you be the rest of the week? Are you at Kid Venture, or are you doing any other presentations?
Well, we'll be at the Kid Ventures, but we move around now and then for various items' sake. But we're at Kid Ventures morning and afternoon signing cards for kids and whatnot and okay. talking to kids,
great.
All families, when right. they come out of the various programs there.
Good. Any particular times or just mornings and afternoons?
Usually it's from 9 to 10.
Okay.
And from about 1 to 2 will definitely times that we'll be there signing things.
Okay. You and Colonel McGee as well?
Colonel McGee, the two of us, yes.
All right. If you would like to meet these living legends of aviation and talk with them, I've talked with Colonel McGee in the past and you as well, and you're not only a wealth of knowledge, but you're just interesting to talk to and so personable, and we really do appreciate you adding your experiences and your encouragement to Air Venture. So thank you for being here.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me.
All right. You're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.